So g'day, welcome to the Drunken Beersman podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and this week we have got a new theme song because I want to talk about some nerdy shit. I want to continue with the nerd stuff, and on that note, it's just a couple of days till the highly anticipated Fallout 4 comes out, and I thought we'd have a bit of a fucking look. I mean, this is a game series that I fell in love with when I was a young teenager. Like, no shit, I think it was maybe at 12 or 13 when I first found Fallout Tactics Brotherhood of Steel. And from there, I quickly tracked down and played each and every one of the sprawling massive RPGs. I even managed to track down the grandpappy of the Wasteland. But we'll get to that in just a little minute. So first, I thought I'd give us a brief bit of a history on it itself. So the game is set in a divergent timeline that branched out about 1969, just before the Apollo 11 mission, with some major technological advances that propelled technology but caused a social and cultural halt, hence the really sort of cool 1950s Art Deco style. I could go into the details forever, but instead what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to let a very, very young Ron Perlman tell you what actually happened.
War. War never changes. The Romans waged war to gather slaves and wealth. Spain built an empire from its lust for gold and territory. Hitler shaped a battered Germany into an economic superpower. But war never changes. In the 21st century, war was still waged over the resources that could be acquired. Only this time, the spoils of war were also its weapons. Petroleum and uranium. For these resources, China would invade Alaska, the U.S. would annex Canada, and the European Commonwealth would dissolve into quarreling, bickering nation-states bent on controlling the last remaining resources on Earth. In 2077, the storm of World War had come again. In two brief hours, most of the planet was reduced to cinders. And from the ashes of nuclear devastation, a new civilization would struggle to arise. A few were able to reach the relative safety of the large underground vaults. Your family was part of that group that entered Vault 13. Imprisoned safely behind the large vault door, under a mountain of stone, a generation has lived without knowledge of the outside world. Life in the vault is about to change.
Man, how good is that fucking intro? And Ron Perlman's done all, but I think New Vegas. He's done all the intros and they've always started the same way. War. War never changes. I mean, fuck me, how cool is that? And I mean, at the time, he wasn't the star he is today. This was actually even before his, his, I suppose, breaking role of Beauty and the Beast. His role in Cronus, or sort of anything else, really. I just thought that was rather fucking interesting. And I mean, come on, how can I not play that in a podcast dedicated to Fallout? But anyway, back to the first game. Now, Fallout 1 is set 84 years after the Great War of 2077, wherein less than two, well, you just heard it. So, you play an unnamed protagonist from Vault 13 in search of a replacement water chip. Now, originally, this game gave you only 150 days to find the water chip, which you could then expand up to another 100 if you sent water merchants there, but that had repercussions with what you got to do after you find the chip, which is, you know, basically go track down these bunch of super mutants. This is the game where we see the Vaults, the Pip-Boys, Mutants, Desolation, Raiders, and the Master, one of the best video game villains of the time. Now, the original Fallout was a huge, intense game that gave us so much. It introduced us to the special RPG system instead of the GURPS, which is what they were going to use. The humour and tone of this isometric view classic is what endeared the series as a whole to just about anyone who played it. Dripping in sarcasm, pop culture, and that sweet, sweet 50s era pulpy feel. The original Fallout is regularly featured in most top 20 lists when it comes to video games, more often in the top 10, of many of the greatest ever lists and has multiple sort of Hall of Fame or their equivalent entries in most gaming sites, magazines, publications, so on and so forth. So it was originally released in 80-something by Interplay and their Black Isle Studios division. So it's really no surprise that Black Isle Studios, which by this stage had branched out and become a fully-fledged design studio, released a follow-up just the next year. Fallout 2 expanded upon everything in the first game, from skills, more weapons, more quests, a higher degree of customization, and a bigger playing area. So this one set in Oregon, 80 years after the original game and 164 years after the Great War. That's 2241 for those who are playing at home. So Fallout 2 sees you take control of a descendant of the eponymous Vault Dweller, this time called the Chosen One, and his mission to find a Gek, or a Garden of Eden creation kit, to revitalize the village that he's living in. Now, the Gek is one of the more interesting items that's come out of the series, in my opinion. And what that is basically it's a limited terraforming device designed to recreate the Garden of Eden in the nuclear fucking wasteland. So, with more intrigue, and this game also introduces the factions of the New Californian Republic and the Enclave, Fallout 2 was heralded for delivering the same goodness that made the first game so popular, while improving it and expanding on the features that made the first one so great. Now, of course, it did have its detractors who claimed that it wasn't really all that much different, and there were some bugs that people got shitty with, but fuck them. So, 2001 saw the spin-off game Fallout Tactics Brotherhood of Steel. Now, this was much more of a tactical RPG that saw you being able to pick different races, and the story focused solely on the Brotherhood. Now, the Brotherhood of Steel was a quasi-religious group that basically went around snapping up all the tech it could find to keep it out of the heads of the plebs who remained after the Holocaust. Considered non-canon, it is still an enjoyable game and worth checking out for any Fallout fan. Followed in 2004 by a console version, this is what we had to keep going through the era of the Can Van Buren game, the bankruptcy of Interplay, and sale of the franchise to Bethesda until 2008 saw the release, finally, some fucking 7 years later, of Fallout 3. Fallout 3, didn't the internet shit bricks with this one? Set in 2277, exactly 200 years after the Great War, we take control of the Lone Wanderer of Vault 101 in the DC region after being forced to flee a paranoid overseer and thrust into a world it didn't believe it could exist in to find dear old Dad. It had a rather fucking interesting character creation set up at the start of the game where you played through as a baby. And it was a really good game. So, at the time, and probably to today, the game garnered some criticism, mainly involving the changes, including the introduction of the VATS combat system, the change from an isometric view to first and third switchable perception, the removal of traits, and some pretty broad changes in certain regions concerning drug references, nuclear weapons, one or two missions, and in fact in Germany the removal of all gore and less violence in general. Which is stupid, because you could go just across the border to Austria and get the full game. So the bugs in Fallout 3 were pretty fucking atrocious at the time, which is something that Bethesda is pretty renowned for, and who I personally thought was the worst at it until I found Treon, who on a regular basis, even now in a game that's almost 4 years old, release patches to patch the patch to patch the other patch to fix the bugs that didn't get fixed. But in saying all that, it was still a highly enjoyable game with a massive world, a massive story with multiple side missions, and is still considered by many, especially the newer fans, as one of the best. Taking just 2 years this time, Obsidian developed in concert with Bethesda released Fallout New Vegas. Now, this has nothing to do with the other games. It's a standalone entry set in the ruins of, yep, you guessed it, Las Vegas, baby. Set in 2281, you play the Courier, a man on the hunt for his memory and revenge. So this game borrowed heavily from Van Buren, which was to be Fallout 3 back in 2004 or 2005. New Vegas improved drastically on the mechanics introduced in Fallout 3 and featured some pretty sweet voice casting, including Matt Perry. This game is one of my personal favourites. I personally feel it captured more of the original flavour of the games, and there was so much to do. It is an amazing fucking entry. Now, the game is plagued by some pretty hectic bugs, most infamously a bug with the game save files that became corrupt and unplayable once it became too big, or if you played certain missions. Now, fucking this happened to me, and about the only thing you can do is start again or go back about 15-20 fucking hours. The only real thing to do was delete the file and just deal with it. And yeah, nah, fuck, there were some rage moments there, I tell you what. So, it's been 5 long fucking years since New Vegas, with a couple of hoaxes in relation to a sequel, including the countdown clock from last year, that strung fans along for a good fucking month, me included. Bethesda kept pretty tight lip on anything it was developing, but the rumbles were that the game was indeed coming, and June this year, we finally got not only the announcement for the game, but also a release date within 6 months. Now, this one features a brand new engine called the Creation Engine, developed by Skyrim, and Fallout 4 will grant the ability to freeform face creation, will run in native 1080p at 30 frames a second, and will also integrate mobile devices as a second screen. Not to mention full support for native mods on console, the first in the series that does this. In fact, one of the very few games that does this in general. We're also going to see the ability to fully customize weapons with over 50 base guns and over 700 mods to be available. Also changing is the normally moot protagonist. Now, normally in the previous games, sort of to help you really sort of, you know, empathize with the character, there was no voicing to it. But now, depending on whether you're going to be male or female, Brian T. Delaney or Courtney Taylor will be the voice of the character, so you can have fully integrated conversations a la Mass Effect. And another interesting thing about this game, actually, is it's going to start when the bomb drops in 2077, and it's also going to be played 200 years later as the sole survivor of Vault 111 emerges into a new world. Man, I have tried really hard to stay away from most news with this one, just because it's something I'd really like to go into rather fucking raw. But man, I'm so excited, and I'm not the only one. For the first time ever, actually, with Fallout 4, what Bethesda did was create an actual fucking Pip-Boy to be bundled with one of their special edition collector's editions of the games. They sold them within a day and a half, went back to their factory manufacturers and got another bunch made, and then were told they literally could not keep up with the production for the orders that were required, and then there was no more Pip-Boys. So if you're one of those lucky motherfuckers to get one, you bastard. There is some 3D designs floating around out there. Now, the Pip-Boy that they made is designed to be able to fit your phone, so you can use it as your second screen for your inventory and everything like that, which is still going to be available for your phone, but you just won't have the cool little fucking wrist pack Pip-Boy there on top. Like I said, man, I'm fucking so excited for this game. It's one of the first games in a very, very long time that I've actually gone out and pre-ordered. And it's also one of the games I'm not going to let sit on fucking lay-by for terribly long. I'm fully intending to get it day of fucking release, if at all fucking possible, so I can sit down, shut the world out, and just fucking play through what is looking like an absolutely amazing fucking game. Like I said, man, I've played this from the start, and it is a fucking gorgeous, gorgeous fucking series. A lot of very, very time consuming, but I tell you what, absolutely worth it if you are a Fallout fan, an RPG fan in particular. The only thing really missing is an MMO component to it, but that is something that they just, Bethesda says it just does not fucking work. So, I mean, I can sort of see that, I suppose. But, you know, I don't fucking care anyway. This is something I'm going to fucking play through time and time and time again. So that was my little introspection on Fallout and Fallout 4 and everything that's going to come up. Like I said, I'll probably get Mitchy P's back in the studio in a couple weeks' time after we've both had a chance to really sit down and fucking play it and do a nice big review on it, because it's, like I said, one of the games I'm actually going to fucking keep up with. Yeah, so that's our little Fallout bit. It's going to be, well, I shouldn't say a short episode, because the episodes have been shorter. I am, like I said, still in the process of rejigging shit. I've got some ideas, some exciting stuff that's going to be coming up very, very soon. But in lack of all of that, I think we're going to have a look through the bid in focus stories, and we're going to find one. And I've got one right here. And we are up to Mr. Norman Cassidy. So, Mr. Norman Cassidy. Mr. Norman Cassidy comes from the great city of Manchester, England. And this is his story. Puberty started early for me, around the age of 9, but it seemed to last forever. This meant I sprouted the awkward mustache way before most of my peers. The problem was, I thought by shaving it I was acknowledging it or giving it power, so I just let it sit there on my face for the longest time, which of course led to ridicule. At first I didn't care, and was happily rocking a full beard by the time I was 14. But while looking back now, I realise this made me a badass while in school, but it also made me stand out. This gave me facial hair issues and led to an obsession with shaving in early adult life. I would think nothing of spending large amounts of money on razors, creams, gels and lotions to keep my face as smooth as possible. Whenever I could, I'd head out to the barbers and throw money at them for a cutthroat shave. Then one day, due to a lack of funds, my facial hair started sprouting. Now, genetics mean that if I shave at 7, by 9, 10 o'clock I already have stubble, so a few days without the money to shave led me to quite a bit of growth. All of a sudden I was getting compliments. I suited stubble, and then I suited a beard. And then I suited a full beard. This was going well, so I kept on growing it. Occasionally I'd trim it, and sometimes I'd shave it back altogether. And then I started actually doing things properly. Shampooing, oiling, doing whatever I could to keep it in good condition. That's when I came up with the idea of bareback grooming. I'd already been making my own products and thought I could take them online to give them to other people. So I started a Kickstarter campaign, which has really taken off. Now at the time he was about 2 months or a month through it, something like that. It was about halfway through. And he got his goal. He only wanted about £900. He ended up getting about £3,100. Since then, he hasn't really been posting a whole lot, so I don't know just how well he's been going with it, which is something that's been coming more and more prominent with these self-starters. Especially today, I've seen at least 3 in the last 4 months go belly up, including Bearded Pleasures, Mr. Whiskers, and by the looks of it, Bareback Grooming. I'm pretty sure Anvil dropped out at the start of the year, and I think there's one or two others that have dropped out as well, which is really, really sad to see. But I mean, in a market that's being saturated with beard products, it's not really that much of a fucking surprise, to be perfectly honest. Sad, but not much of a fucking surprise. So, that was Mr. Norman Cassidy. You can find him all over the place at Bareback Grooming if you care to have a look. You never know, I could be wrong and he could be well and truly up and running. So, that's our episode for the night. As you can hear from the theme that I just had way too fucking loud on my board. You can find me everywhere at The Drunkle Dan. Find us at www.thedrunkenbeardsman.com. Why don't you go along and post your own beards and focus story? We're always looking for more. Why the fuck not? Because, you know, that's just how we roll. The reviews are rolling back, but I do have some stuff coming very, very soon that I'm very, very excited to share with you. That's really about fucking it, to be honest, ladies and gentlemen. In the coming weeks, I am going to be looking at doing a bit of stuff for the Bearded Villains on the podcast. I've got to talk to the lads in the Australian chapter and see what I can get away with and how I can help our own little chapter down here in the subcontinent fucking grow. But other than that, I think we're pretty well done. So Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Drunk Old Dan. I'll see you on the same bearded time at the same drunk channel, and stay bearded and beautiful.
Oh, darling, yeah, you really want to clutch it for reasons you can't understand. You want it so much, so baby, touch me, touch your hat. Touch, touch me in the beard. Go ahead and touch, touch me in the beard. I want you to hold it, stroke it, put your hand inside and say goodbye to all your fears. Just close your eyes and touch me in the beard.
It won't bite. You and my beard are gonna have a really nice time.
My beard,
it's waiting for you. And girl, you know I want you to. So put your hand up in my beard and see what you can find.
You don't have to be scared.
Just touch it, baby, yeah.
Of my facial hair.
Just put your hand right there.
There's magic in the air.
And darling, yeah, you really want to clutch it for reasons you can't understand. You want it so much, so baby, just reach out your hand.
And touch, touch me in the beard. Go ahead and touch, touch me in the beard. I want you to hold it, stroke it, put your hand inside and say goodbye to all your fears.
Just close your eyes and touch me in the beard.
This has been a production of RVSR Media. I'm your host, Uncle Dan, thanking you once again for joining us this week for a rather short fucking episode. Please remember that the Drunken Beardsman, i.e. me, I only promote drinking in moderation. Drinking in vast excessive amounts is just stupid and it's no good for you, so remember that. Theme song, as always, has been gratefully provided by The Beards. It is Touch Me in the Beard off their Beard album. You can find them at thebeards.com.au. Beardy, beardy, beard, beard, beard. Fallout themes were all provided by YouTube, and you can track down the various composers there. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, remember, stay bearded, stay beautiful, stay villain.
Say goodbye to all your fears. Just put your